Thank you for listening to Remake Rewind, the podcast where we decide if remakes or reboots should have happened. I'm Mike, and with me as always, I've got Dustin. How you doing, Dustin?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem, buddy. And of course, we got Mr. Double D, aka David Delgado. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, Mike?
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good, good. I heard you watched the wrong movie.
I watched Mad Max. That's what I watch.
It's fine. We'll figure it out. So, we are covering the Mad Max franchise. We were supposed to cover Fury Road and The Road Warrior, but I guess we're going to be covering three movies, Road Warrior, Mad Max, and Fury Road. Or, yeah, that's what I said. So, we're good. Dustin, why did you pick these movies this week?
Well, I picked The Road Warrior and Fury Road because they are very similar. Well, not technically a remake. Or a reboot. I guess it would fall under that soft reboot category. Yeah. And it just kind of like brought life back into this franchise that I actually really, really like. Also, like, both of these movies are bad to the bone. So
they really are.
I wanted to watch them both.
I grew up on these movies. Anytime they popped on TV, my dad would watch them. It didn't matter what point in the movie it was. So I definitely remember watching The Road Warrior and Beyond the Thunderdome. Like,
yeah, frequently. Thunderdome rips too.
The original one, which Double D fucked up and watched instead of listening or reading our texts, watched the original Mad Max, which I didn't actually see the original one until about 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I do apologize for your misunderstanding, Double D, because that one's a little weird.
It was super weird, man.
Why don't you just spend a couple minutes telling us about that one so it's not in vain?
Nah, it's in vain. Like, this was a waste
of
time.
No, tell us about it. just give us the summary that sets up Max as a character.
Okay, so he's a police officer in Australia, I suppose. And he's got to deal with this guy, Toe Cutter, who's just... He's got a nomad biker group. And it's just super weird. And they're all really weird and creepy and kill people for no reason. And they end up killing his wife and child, which drives Max into Mad Max, where he's just in a rage going after them and killing them all, which I guess leads him into The Road Warrior.
Yeah. That movie does have one of the greatest special effects at the end when Toe Cutter gets run over. You see his eyes bulge out of his head.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
That's also where he gets like the leg brace and stuff, right? Like,
yeah, he gets shot. He gets kneecapped, so he's got that. He also has the... if you notice his Mad Max jacket, which he does have in Fury Road and Road Warrior, it's missing a sleeve. That's because the paramedics would have had to cut off the sleeve and one of his accents. That's the way they explain it. So they do pay a lot of attention to detail in these movies.
I mean, yeah, I think it's the Mad Max sets it up. Like, everything is a continuation from that. Like,
correct.
I think it shows you just how this, you know, this post-apocalyptic society is just run down. Like, there's,
right,
like, resources become scarce throughout these movies. I don't know. He becomes much more savage. You know, like, he's holding on to the last scraps of
his
who
humanity.
He was. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Like, in the in both movies, he's kind of like a lone. Just kind of like a ranger out on his own in the wilderness and just very begrudgingly assists people. And it's only because if he doesn't assist them, he's going to end up getting killed. So he's kind of has to help people out. And that's really the theme of all three movies.
Yeah. I think the first one doesn't have necessarily the same like survival elements.
No, that's
like
just
the
a
same,
hard.
Like,
wait, it's not the post-apocalyptic.
Yeah,
like everything.
Like
else,
but... once you get to Road Warrior, he's like eating dog food and like, you know, I don't know, just trying to stay alive. Like the shells for his shotgun that he's always trying to find. You know, like he has like no ammunition.
Right.
He just keeps the gun around. And also, like, even thinking through it, like the jacket in Fury Road, like when he loses his jacket, he does spend like a fair amount of time like. Getting it back, and like I said, that's mine, you know.
Yeah.
Like, he's holding on to that pretty desperately.
Yeah, everything is they do that in the first movie too. Like, not the first movie, sorry, Road Warrior. Like, he booby traps everything that belongs to him with the kill switches, he sets up booby traps in the car when he's got the gyro captain with him,
yeah,
to like blow his brains out if he even moves. So he is very protective of his stuff.
Which I guess you would have to be,
oh,
right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So kind of setting this whole world up. So Double D kind of mentioned the first one didn't feel as post-apocalyptic. That one is supposed to be after like a nuclear war, but Australia is more or less safe because they're furthest from civilization. And then in Road Warrior and Beyond, it's because he's like gone to the outskirts. He's gone to the wasteland, and that's why it's even crazier and there's no roads and all that stuff. So it's a pretty interesting world that they set up. In each movie, I feel like they add something to it as a whole.
Yeah.
I would say, like, if you go through the franchise and you look at Road Warrior, it's all about just the Marauders and the Raiders just trying to rule the world. And then you go into Beyond the Thunderdome, which we're not really going to talk about in this one, but it's kind of the beginning of getting civilization back together. Like, there are these two cities, you know, you've got Bartertown and there's a governor trying to, you know, that's what people want, would be to have civilization. And then you go into Fury Road, which actually I think the ingenuity that in Morden Joe had is insane, and we'll go into that.
Yeah.
But I think that each movie really did up the stake, even though a lot of people don't like Beyond the Thunderdome for some reason. I do think that it was different enough from each movie that it added something. So I like all these movies.
Me too.
Do you want to summarize The Road Warrior, and then we can discuss that?
Yeah. This is a pretty quick one. A former Australian policeman, now living in the post-apocalyptic Australian outback as a warrior, agrees to help a community of survivors living in a gasoline refinery to defend them and their gasoline supplies from evil barbarian warriors.
It's tight.
Pretty close. Pretty close.
I love the beginning of this movie, so it's throwing like news like reports and stuff like that, and it's like it starts with narration. Which apparently the narration in our version is not in the Australian version, but they added it because I guess nobody saw the original Mad Max in America.
That makes sense.
So it's completely different, and it was called The Road Warrior only in the United States. In other places in the world where it was released, it was just called Mad Max 2. Mm-hmm. So we got a different version of this movie, but I love how it goes, the world's powered by black fuel. Kind of thing.
Like, yeah.
Just building up that this whole movie is going to be about gasoline.
And oh, yeah.
This movie did a great job kind of summarizing the first one. Like, you see a bunch of flashback footage of Max's family getting murdered. You see him getting kneecapped. You see him running over a tow cutter and just driving into the wasteland. So this movie is awesome because you really don't need to see the first one to understand what's going on in this one.
No, yeah. This could easily be like a jumping on point for a viewer. Like, it works completely.
Yeah, totally.
And actually, its summation of the previous movie is like better really all you need. yeah, it's pretty good.
So the thing that's crazy about this movie is Max, the lead, only has 16 lines of dialogue, and two of them are, "I only came for the gasoline."
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Pretty interesting. Like, I remember, and we'll talk about it a little bit more, but I remember watching Fury Road and thinking, man, Tom Hardy barely talks in this movie, and he talks four times as often as Max, played by Mel Gibson, does in his movies. So that's pretty interesting. Like, he has more lines of dialogue in that one than he has like all the Mel Gibson movies like combined. It's crazy.
That is crazy. I also remember seeing it in theaters and not and being like, wow, he's barely talking
you
this
and
entire movie.
Double D, I think I saw this movie with both of you. So I think Double D, your girlfriend, Imee, and then I went and saw the midnight showing of Fury Road. And then I think like the next day, Dustin and I went and saw like a midday showing randomly.
Yeah, I saw it a couple of times.
I saw it like four times in theaters.
Yeah.
I love that movie. Getting back into The Road Warrior, are there any like key things that you guys want to shout out or talk about?
I mean, I think the vehicles all look pretty awesome, right?
Yeah,
like
they still
all the bad guy like trucks and stuff. Those totally hold up. It's super stylish. Like all of the weird like fetish leather bad guys, like they're definitely iconic, you know? Like they really put some work into that. And then I really like how like again we were talking about the scarcity of resources and like the humongous guys, like that big gun he has like, you know, only a few bullets. Like the one bad guy has like the wrist shooter, like the dart shooter thing. Like it's all believable, I guess.
Right.
It's all very consistent and lived in. There's nothing where you're looking at it and you're like, oh, well, but how do they have that? Like, you're never really taken out of this world.
One of the thing that like really I thought was interesting was the beginning of the movie opens up with one of the gangster guys. His name is Wes. He's one of the few characters that has a name in this movie. So he's like the giant guy with the mohawk, and then he's got his like pretty boy, assless chaps boyfriend on his motorcycle with him. And so they're going on, and Max takes out like takes on a motorcycle and another like dune buggy, and these guys decide to like back off. So Max immediately goes back to the car that he flipped. And he's getting like a hat and like a bowl and a soup can.
Yeah.
He's trying to collect all the gasoline scavenging. That's leaking out of this car. And that's something that you really got to look at like, man, this guy's scavenging for everything. And then the whole movie is him just trying to get a single tank of gas from this town that has a ton of gasoline.
Yeah. And it's like, he still doesn't even, it's not clear that he even has anywhere to go with that gas.
He's got nowhere. He just wants to roam the wasteland. Just,
yeah. Getting into road wars.
Double D, anything? Oh, wait, you didn't watch this movie.
No, I watched Mad Max.
You've seen this, though, right?
No, I've never seen it, actually.
You've never seen The Road Warrior?
No, I've never seen it.
You idiot.
I'm going to go watch it right after this.
Oh, man. So this is going to be a lot of me and Dustin talking for the first 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, I like it. Now I can just visualize it. Maybe I don't need to watch it.
Maybe you won't even need to watch it.
Also, the stunts are amazing.
Speaking about the stunts, there was the one of the coolest ones in this movie. The part there's a part where you see like this motorcycle crash and you see the guy flying like 20, 30 feet.
Yeah,
that was an accident. The guy broke and shattered both of his legs.
Oh God! Yeah, I don't doubt it.
That was not meant to happen. But they kept.
They left it in the movie.
Really cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that was not meant to happen at all.
I mean, this both of these movies look like super dangerous to have been anywhere near the filming of these movies.
Yeah, that's
like
insane.
To have participated in this at all. Well, seems like you're putting yourself at great risk.
There's a point like in the final, you know, last 15, 20 minutes where they're going after the big rig.
Yeah,
they there's times where you see this car like start to drive under the big rig and then just get completely crumpled and then flips. It's like, how the fuck are they getting people out of these cars?
I don't know, man.
I don't know how they did this safely in the late 70s, early 80s when they were making these original movies. Like, that's insane.
I don't know that they did do
how
this
they
safely.
Were able to do this thing, these things. Like, so many people got hurt. It's insane. Like, to have your legs shattered for a movie that only did, like, I think this movie only did like $80 million, which is good for back then, but it's like, man, I don't know if getting myself crippled for life for something like this is worth it.
No.
I mean, I don't think so. I wouldn't want to.
Not if you're just like one of the motorcycle guys, like just like a random bad guy.
At least you have it recorded and you can watch it over and over again.
You can never forget the time you broke both of your legs.
Oh, man. The other thing that's interesting with this movie is the, you know, to lighten it up a little bit, like, yeah, somebody's life was ruined for this movie, but somebody's life was saved for this movie. The dog was going to actually be euthanized at a local shelter, and they just needed a dog for the movie, so they went and picked this dog, and they're like, yeah, this one's going to die tomorrow. So they took this dog, trained it for the role, and I think it did a pretty damn good job.
Oh, it was a great dog.
Good dog. It was a great dog.
Has protected the car.
Protect the car.
Hated everybody except for Max.
Except for Max. I really did love that part when they captured the gyro captain, and he hooks up the shotgun to a bone with a wire, and the dog is just holding onto the bone.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So the other thing that's weird about this Mad Max just universe is they reuse actors in multiple movies. So the guy who plays the gyro captain, and his name is just Gyro Captain.
Yeah.
He's in Beyond the Thunderdome, and he's an airplane captain, but he's a different character. And Cutter, the villain from the original movie, played by, I always forget his name. I know it's something Keys Barn. I think it's Hugh Keys Barn. He is Immortan Joe in the other movie. So they recycle the actors and have them as different characters.
That's cool.
Which is weird. And then the characters themselves, a lot of them don't have names. So in this movie, there's that female wearing all white. Her name is just Female Warrior. Warrior Woman on IMDb in the credits.
Yeah.
So a lot of these people don't even have names. And the ones who do, you only hear them like once. Like the leader of the, like that gas village, the colony, his name is like Papagayo, but they only say the name one time. So this movie, these movies are kind of tricky to keep track of the characters if you're somebody who cares about that.
I think you just keep track of what they look like.
Yeah.
Like, that's the point, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're all very individualized. Until they're just like raiders and warriors.
Yeah. God, there's so many things that I want to talk
the
about.
The feral kid, dude? How about that guy?
The feral kid.
The
feral kid is the narrator of the movie, so it's like an old man who opens and closes the movie, and it turns out that that's the feral kid. That feral kid is awesome. He like laughs every time Max kills somebody.
Yeah, he's like throwing his boomerang around. He's got a whole network of tunnels going on.
Dude, the kid's tight.
Yeah,
and he's got the sweetest mullet.
He really has a good mullet. And he doesn't he do like backflips and stuff?
Yeah, he does tons of backflips. Like there's a part where he throws the boomerang and Wes ducks and then it comes back and then it kills Wes's boyfriend. And Wes gets super pissed. Humongous has to choke him out to get him to calm down. And he's like whispering in his ears, like, I'm never going to let these guys go, bro. You know me. So you just got to chill. And then he chokes him out.
I'm never going to let him go.
But yeah, as he throws the boomerang, he does like two backflips in a row and then catches it in his like weird, it's almost like a cast that he has to catch this like razor blade boomerang.
Yeah.
And he kills a couple people.
I guess the other thing that I would question is like, you know, okay, we don't know how long it's been, but we know that Max is eating dog food, right?
Right.
To stay alive. Like, how are these dudes so buff?
Cannibalism.
Well, they must be, right? I mean, they must be. What else are they eating?
Well, I mean, if you're not eating...
Where are they getting that protein?
Maybe they're not that buff. They just got no fat on them and their skin's just...
The humongous guy's
muscle.
Fucking
no,
huge,
they're
dude.
They're fucking big. They're huge.
Or maybe that's
like, this guy is ginormous. Like, he really... Like, that Wes guy... Who's Wes is really the main foil throughout the movie. Like he's in every beat. There's a point where Max helps the town and then leaves. He like abandons them to figure it out on their own, and then Wes chases him and takes him out.
Yeah.
And Wes also there's this point when they're throughout the movie they're kind of doing a like siege on this town, and there's a point when Max is coming in with a car. And Wes uses that at the gate to, like, jump up on the gate. And he does this thing where he runs and jumps, like, 20 feet several times. And he does, like, a series of flips. Like, this Wes guy is
very
super
acrobatic.
Like, I would not want to fight Wes if I was in a post-apocalyptic
I don't think
world.
Nobody wanted to fight him. They
I think
had
all
to.
Of us would stuck being that pretty blonde boyfriend of his.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That'd be
the
rough.
Other thing I thought was interesting in this movie is like throughout the movie you see like random dead kangaroos on the road just so you know it's Australia. And then he does find a music box in this movie which comes into play in Fury Road.
Yeah,
that gyro. I want to talk about the gyro captain. That character is super weird, but really cool. Like super. Like he designed a little helicopter.
Gyrocopter seems like the way to get around in this wasteland, too.
Yeah. And most people just ignore him the whole movie. He's like dropping
like
Molotovs on people.
Well, maybe people wouldn't be trying to steal their gyrocopter because they wouldn't know how to fly it.
That's true. Most people would just end up crashing and dying.
Yeah.
The other thing with him...
Doesn't he drop snakes on people?
He drops snakes. And he's got a bunch of snakes, and he talks about... There's a point when... So just to summarize the movie a little bit more, the whole thing is Max finds this gyro captain. He says, I can get you gasoline. And there's like a little colony that found like an oil well, and they've been making
gas. They have like
gas.
A refinery.
So
like they
Humongous
can turn
and
the oil
his
into
gang
gas.
Are trying to get the gas. Max gets there, and they're like, if you can help us get the gas out of here, we'll give you a tank of gas. So he saw a semi-truck, goes and gets the semi-truck. They load the gas. You think they load the gas into the semi-truck. And then Max fights everybody. It turns out they got the gas out a different way. So that's the summary in a nutshell.
Spoiler.
Spoiler for a movie that came out in the 80s.
Spoiler for a very old movie.
Damn it.
David hasn't seen it.
He should have. He was supposed to.
Nah, dude. Told me to watch Mad Max. That's what I
did
watch.
Not say that. That was Dustin, and he sent a text saying Fury Road.
Not to me.
Anyway. There's a scene when Max... goes after the gyro captain, and the gyro captain like has a snake on Max, and Max like catches the snake in midair. He's like, I've never seen someone beat the snake before. So, you know, Max is fucking badass. And he goes to try to steal Max's car, and it doesn't work because of the kill switch. and then they go back to that area later, and the snake is dead, and the dog is eating the snake, and the guy's trying to be like, that's my snake, I should get to eat it, I spent hours training him, and the dog just, like, barks at him, and the dog just eats the snake. It's awesome. Yeah. God, there's so much. Anything else you want to talk about, Dustin? Because I feel like we should move on so we can let Double D talk. Well, I could talk about this movie for a long time.
It's okay, I like you guys' voices. Mostly Dustin, though.
Let's see. I think this one was, like, I don't know. I think it was really cool how just, like, how practical everyone was, you know? Like, even the warrior, like, the bad guys were just trying to steal the gas, right? Like, that was a very clear motive. And they were going to kill all those people. Like, all of those people were going to die.
Right.
And then I liked how the tribe of, like, the Papagallo and all his people, like, they knew they were going to die. Like, they knew they didn't have a real good way out of there. And I liked all the double crosses where, like, what was the plan, dude? Like, they were going to have Max drive this truck out, right? And just die? Like, just get killed? Just
the plan was going to be they fight and everything. But, yeah, they double-crossed Max and just put sand in the trailer. Yeah. And then what they did is they had a second group go out at the opposite side of the town.
Yeah.
And they just had a ton of gasoline and barrels.
Yeah, but there was, you know, it was like, okay, you're driving the decoy and we'll pick you up later or anything like that.
They didn't tell him. Like, he had no idea. When he looked at the sand, he kind of had this, like, this nod of approval, like, you got me, you sons of bitches.
Sons of bitches, I thought that was really cool. Like, that's the kind of shit you'd have to be always worrying about in this world.
Well, that's why Papagayo kept trying to get the feral kid off that rig, because he knew
they weren't going anywhere.
Because everybody liked Feral Kid, because that kid was tight.
Yeah, he ruled.
I could only hope to have a son as cool as Feral Kid someday.
Yeah, he had, like, that cool glove so he could catch his razor boomerang.
Yeah, dude, that kid was smart. Like, for a Feral Kid, that kid was super smart. I do like how Max, like, kind of cared about this kid a little bit. But
I think
still
it's the,
like,
only person he gave half a shit about.
And he still was like, go crawl out under the hood of this big rig and get me that one shotgun shell that's on the big rig.
Hey, somebody's got to do it, man.
Then Humongous comes out of nowhere with, and he's got nitrous. He's the only person who has nitrous in this world, at least in this movie. And he gets ahead of him, flips a bitch, and is going to, like, do a head-on crash. So Max literally just grabs the feral kid's ankle as this guy's, like, head-on crashes and, like, somehow was able to keep the kid safe.
Feral kid
totally
was fearless.
Out onto that thing. Who was fearless? Max?
Feral kid.
Oh,
fearless. Max.
Feral
Both
kid's
of them.
Tight.
Both of them.
I wish I was as cool as Feral Kid, but I'm not. I'm not going to pretend to be.
What else? That might be all I got so far. Maybe other stuff will come up when we talk about Fury Road. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoy this movie. I think, I guess one of the other big shifts, if we transition into Fury Road, was I did feel like this movie did not have, like, its portrayal of women was very different than Fury Road.
There's a bunch of gratuitous nudity. Just randomly, like, you drive by and you see, like, a tent goes flying and you just see, like, a raider banging a girl. And, like, yeah, that's true. And
I think,
like, the only real strong woman character in this movie is the warrior woman. And she doesn't do much other than look pretty and then gets killed at the first real,
like, battle. Yeah. But then when you get into Fury Road, I mean, obviously you've got Furiosa and that whole thing, you know.
And then some of the brides are pretty good.
Yeah.
And then the badass grannies.
Exactly. Like, that's very different, like, tonally. Like, you still get all these, like, warrior dudes with their shirts off, but you also then get into, like, oh, women actually are people and can control their own destiny.
Yes, women are actual people. And that the thing about this movie is Fury Road is the director, George Miller, did get, I don't remember her name, but a very famous feminist writer to kind of work the script with him and make sure that it hit that tone that he wanted to hit. So that was something that wasn't done by accident. It was very important to him. So that's pretty cool. And why don't you just summarize the movie and then we'll just get into it.
Okay. Mad Max Fury Road. an apocalyptic story set in the furthest reaches of our planet in a stark desert landscape where humanity is broken and almost everyone is crazed, fighting for the necessities of life. Within this world exist two rebels on the run who just might be able to restore order. There's Max, a man of action and a man of few words, who seeks peace of mind following the loss of his wife and child in the aftermath of the chaos. And Furiosa, a woman of action and a woman who believes her path to survival may be achieved if she can make it across the desert back to her childhood homeland.
Damn.
Wow.
So,
all right, Double D. Oh, go ahead, Dustin.
Well, first of all, for me, with what I think like really does it for me with this movie is the fact that a lot of the events that are happening with like Furiosa trying to spring like the breeders, like all the wives, all that stuff was going to happen whether or not Max was in this movie.
Correct.
And that's really cool. Like, it's called Mad Max, but like, he's kind of just tangential to the story. He's just along for the ride. Yeah.
Right. And he definitely helped Furiosa succeed, but by no means was he the driving force of this movie.
No, he's not showing up, I got to help these women. You know, like, that's not his mission. He's trying, as soon as he gets free, he tries to leave.
Yeah.
He spends a good chunk of this movie bound. Like, I mean, even just the beginning of this movie, like, the dude, it starts off with him, like, eating a lizard.
Two-headed lizard.
Pursued by an armada of bad guys, captured, shaved, branded, and then chained up and having his blood drained out. Like, even if you forget everything that this character may have gone through in his life, just the stress of that alone would mess you up really bad.
Right.
Yep.
Well, just going off that, like, this movie handled his PTSD real well. So there's tons of times where the movie, like, when some weird shit like that would be happening, like, when he tries to escape the war boys at the beginning of the movie when he's getting branded and stuff.
Yeah.
And the scene is cut, it has really quick cuts, and it's very frenetic, and then he starts seeing, like, flashbacks of, like, people that he's known getting killed, and he kind of freezes at a couple points. Like, this movie handled this man who's, like, shell-shocked very well.
Yeah, and I like that they don't explain who those people are or what their deal is. Like, you can just tell, like, oh, man, some bad happened to this dude.
Yeah. Double D, since you haven't got to talk very much, what was your favorite part of this movie?
Honestly, Furiosa was, like, I love Charlize Theron. She's an amazing actress in almost all the movies I've watched her in. And, like, everything about her in this movie just echoed upon that. And she's just a great actress. Like, her driving, her reaction when she got to the quote unquote green place and the old women, and it's just everything about her and her acting. I'm glad she was basically the main role in this movie.
When she got stabbed at the end of the movie, like, I thought she actually got stabbed. Like, the look in her eyes and the way she held, like, it was so visceral and real and raw.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, she's really good. I agree.
And, like, when they're fighting, like, when Max first, like, is fighting them, he's still chained to that door.
Yep. Yeah.
That whole scene was, like, really well choreographed and very tense. Like, they're definitely trying, like, she's trying to kill him.
You know? Oh, definitely.
The thing that's crazy in that scene is, so, he's still, not only is he chained up, he's chained up to
Nux.
Car door.
To Nux. Yeah. The war boy who's, you know, his blood bag. And throughout that fight, periodically, Nux would get in and help. So there's a point where, like, they're grappling over this, like, handgun.
Yeah.
And Max goes through and a couple times tries to shoot her and misses. And then Nux has, like, an extra magazine. And he, like, reaches up and, like, holds it up. And Max, like, slams the gun down onto it, helps. And then Max just fires right next to Furiosa's head. Like, he wasted an entire clip of ammo. Which is crazy that they would do something like in that movie. And, like, they immediately kind of talk about it. Like, they immediately get into the car and they start counting their ammo.
Well, he's collecting all the guns. Like, he starts pulling all the guns, all the stashed guns out of everywhere in that truck cab and putting them in that bag. And, like, it's like, oh, here's one, here's another one. Like, yeah. It's just coming out of everywhere.
And then they go and start counting all the ammo to make sure. And one of the brides kind of makes, like, a remark, like, you know, we can only fire this thing, like, four times and this thing and this many times, and, like, you wasted all that ammo. So they do call it, like, it's weird and out of character for him to waste that, because there's a point right around that fight with Furiosa, the women are all bathing and getting all this, because they're not used to being dirty, because they actually had a, even though they were basically being raped repeatedly by Immortan Joe, other than that, they had quote unquote a better life. They were treated very well. Like, you know, they got to bathe when nobody else is bathing. Like, water is a commodity there.
Yeah.
And so you just see Max licking his lips as they're bathing in water. And he doesn't even understand that.
Well, I mean, what I liked about the Max character is, like, you know, all, like, these women have been, like, you know, sexually abused, like, constantly. And, like, dude, he's running up there and, like, they're like, oh, God, this guy's going to rape us. And he's like, he just goes for the water. Like, yeah. He doesn't care about them at all. Like,
it's survival.
He goes to drink some water and then try to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, and totally. Like, and that's totally in line with the Max character.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want anything to do with this. Also, this dude is like a few miles behind us and is super pissed at you guys. Like, I want to get out of here.
Yeah.
I got nothing to do with this. I don't want anything to do with this.
Right. The other thing that I really like about this movie is they set up like this entire world. So, like, as terrible and evil as Morton Joe is, he like engineered like this amazing world. So he's got like on these cliffs, he's got these like series of mirrors that reflect light. So he's got farming going down. He's got these giant war boys on these giant wheels cranking water out of the earth.
Yeah, and like raising and lowering the vehicles, like keeping all the vehicles like up high.
The regular people can't get to them.
Yeah.
And then there's a point where he lets the water out, like I guess once a month or once a year, like however often he does it. Everybody gathers under these giant tubes and he just opens the water and it just goes. And he says like this really cool line that I wrote down. He's like, don't become addicted to the water or something along those lines.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't find it, but it's really great. He's like, oh, here it is. Do not, my friends, become addicted to the water. It will take hold of you and you will resent its absence.
Yeah.
I was like, Jesus Christ, that's insane.
Just holding on to that water, man.
And then he also has like all these giant women that he's using as like wet nurses, basically. And they're just pumping milk. And these like all his sons who are like ginormous. Well, I mean, he's got a couple like weird deformed kids, but he's got this giant guy named Rictus. Who's like sustaining himself off of breast milk, which is, you know, got a ton of calories.
Breast milks.
Yep.
Rictus.
Mother's milk.
Mother's milk. But like Rictus setting up erectus. That world is insane. Like that's not something that I could ever think of doing. And Martin just did it.
Is milking people?
Milking people.
It's fucked up, dude.
It's fucked up, but it's like ingenious.
Yeah. I mean, his whole kit is cool, too. His whole suit, like his weird fucking spacesuit that he's got is pretty cool.
To make him look like he's super ripped from a distance, even though he's, like, super dying.
Yeah, and his car's dope. The Giga Horse, like those two 15-inch Cadillacs stacked up. That's dope. Yep. It's like a throne on wheels.
The one problem I had with this movie is they right as Furiosa leaves, so Furiosa actually works for Morton Joe, and he's her number one... I don't remember what her title was.
Imperator.
Yeah. And, you know, they're like, yeah, she's gonna go get us gasoline, and she's the best. And everyone's, like, celebrating her, and then she veers off the road, and he immediately, like, runs. And, like, he keeps his breeders in, like, a bank vault kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a woman, she's like, you won't get them anymore. She had, like, 50 feet where she could have shot him, and he's going through a doorway.
Yeah.
So there's no way she can, but she waits until he's like a foot away from her before she tries to shoot. And it's like, this whole movie could have been over before it started if she wasn't incompetent.
Yeah. I liked also like the other gangs, like the bullet guys and the other guys from like the gas town. Like they were like, it seemed like Morton Joe had like his stronghold where they had like the water, and then there's like other guys that like made gas and other guys that made bullets and like.
Well, those were his brothers.
Oh, they were his brothers?
They were one of them was his brother and one of them was the son. So the guy who was the bullet farmer who like did that weird like singing and chanting at the end, who got shot and went blind.
Yeah.
He's the brother, and then the other guy was a son, the guy from Gastown.
Oh, weird. Like the big guy with the fake nose?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, they mentioned that they're all related.
Gross.
So yeah, they've got like a little monopoly of everything going on within that family. But even the other just like raiders, so like when they first go off the road, there's like the raiders that have all the spikes on every vehicle, and then there's like the motorcycle gang in the canyon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are pretty cool.
That first little action sequence with that gang, like these guys are well choreographed. The war boys, like they're like, they 100% listen to Furiosa. yeah. even though they're like they're changing plan, but they just believe in her and they're like willing to sacrifice themselves. Like they're jumping off these vehicles with like explosive spears and like sacrificing themselves for like the good of everybody.
He calls her boss too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think crazy. They have to.
But like the way they fight is insane. Like these explosive things, and then they got you know the flamethrowers and all the you know the stuff that we've seen, but. The acrobatics that these war boys are doing is crazy. And then you see these guys, like, they said 80% of what you see on screen is real. Yeah. Only 20% in CG, and most of the CG was actually, like, changing the back, like, doing color filters.
Yeah.
And then on, like the
big storm.
Aerial shots. Well, the big storm, and then, like, the aerial shots, what they would do is they would digitally add more cars in the chase.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like, all the explosions were real, and all the guys getting thrown from vehicles were real, and all the crashes were real, and, you know, the things, like, the tops of cars getting ripped off while people are driving them was all real.
Yeah, and they had, like, their whole weird cult around it, too, which I thought was cool. Like, that whole, like, their whole religion or whatever, like, the whole Witness Me stuff, and, like...
That, goodness,
like,
man.
Yeah, like all
well, they
that
also,
was
I didn't
awesome.
Notice it, like, even though, so when this movie came out, like I said, I saw it like 3 or 4 times in theaters, and then when it came out on Blu-ray, I watched it like 2 or 3 times that year, so the year that it came out, I probably watched it like 7 or 8 times, but I never noticed the symbol that they were doing. They, like, interlock their fingers, and they make, like, a V shape, but that's supposed to be a V8 engine.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Like, I never even noticed that, but they, like, their whole religion around cars and the world.
Yeah.
It's super crazy.
Yeah, dude. Or, like, even, like, throughout it, like, Nux, like, he gets his whole worldview shattered, you know, throughout the movie. Like, he's all about being a war boy and doing all this and that. And then he's, like, after he's hanging out with these people, he's, like, he has to question, like, everything he ever believed. It's all bullshit. It's just that guy controlling everybody.
Yeah. Well, then he's still super bought into it. And then, so in Morton Joe, it's like, yeah, you're my new war boy, main war boy. You go and do this thing. And then immediately, like, throws him onto the truck, and he's barely able to catch himself, so he drops the gun, and Morton Joe, like, just, like, is a dickhead to him, so he's like, man, and Morton Joe's a dickhead.
Yeah, yeah, he is. He is a real dick. Although he was really mad when, like, he ran over the one pregnant lady.
Yeah.
He was
gonna have a son. That I think that's what he was more mad about.
Yeah, he was pretty pissed. And I like that where the, like, that's this, like, she goes down, and then, like, Furiosa, like, asks what happened, and, like, Max is like, she went under the wheel, and she's like, oh, are you sure? And he's like, she went under the wheel. It's like one of the worst. It seems like the way he delivers that line is like, yeah, it's just another one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
So just watch the pregnant woman get run over by a monster truck. I don't want to relive it. I'll never forget it. Thank you.
Yeah,
are
well,
you
and then
sure?
Furiosa and Max are both just like, we've got to move on. Like, all the other women are, like, freaking out. You got to go back. You got to check on her. And, like, the two strong leads are, like, even if she's alive, there's no way we're going to go and get her back and still be able to get you guys out of here. Like, we got to cut our losses.
Yeah. It's horrifying.
One of the other things that I love about this movie, there's a point where they break down in the middle of, like, a muddy area, and they get out of that, and they get up on some high ground, and they realize they don't have enough gasoline, and they don't have enough bullets to sustain themselves. So Max, like, just lay low, I'll be back. And then he just disappears. You hear explosions, you hear screams.
Yeah.
And then he comes running back, and he's just got a duffel bag full of, like, guns. He's got some gasoline, and he's, like, covered in blood. They're like, oh, we need to get you taken care of. And they're like, no, he's fine. They're like, but he's covered in blood. It's like, it's not his blood. And they don't even show. Like, he just went and massacred.
He just did some solid snake shit.
And killed a bunch of dudes, and they don't even show it. And you're just like, all right, okay, cool.
Yeah, moving on.
And then another thing, like you kind of brought up, you know, Furiosa. Furiosa really is his equal in every way, and his superior in many. It's like there's a point where the bullet farmer's coming, and he's just spraying them with machine gun fire. And so he grabs a sniper rifle, and he misses twice, and then he recognizes that he sucks at using the sniper rifle, so he just hands it to Furiosa. She uses him like a tripod to steady the shot, and then takes the guy out. That was so cool.
Everything about this movie is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only thing that, like, the main thing Max adds is at that turning point where they're deciding whether or not to ride out across the salt flats or to go back, and Max is the one that kind of points out, like, hey, dude, like, nobody's home. If we go back through them, like, we can totally steal their base.
Their society.
Yeah. And probably kill a bunch of them on the way back.
One of the other things, this is just unrelated to, I mean, it's related to the movie, but I was watching this movie pretty late one night, and I turned on the subtitles because this movie is very loud and the dialogue's a little quiet, mm-hmm. but Katrina was trying to sleep, so I was watching this movie at like midnight to like 2 a.m. and I turned on the subtitles, and and we haven't even talked about this guy, but he's kind of like the bard, the guitar flamethrower dude.
Yeah.
If you have the subtitles on and you watch anything with him, it just says playing menacing riff.
Yeah, that's kind of his hilarious. Job.
I think that was a really essential character in this movie.
Dude, he's the bard. It's awesome.
Yeah, and they had like the one truck that had all the drums, like the drums were on the back of that truck, right? It was all like those big drums.
It's like dum 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 dum.
Yeah, they weren't really going out to like sneak up on anybody.
No, it's psychological warfare.
Awesome. That guy was even gnarlier with his mask off.
Oh, dude. Yeah, so there's a comic book series that corresponds with this version of Mad Max. And, like, apparently that guitar player was, like, lived in a cave his entire life and never saw the sunlight before, and Morton Joe found him.
Whoa.
So something crazy like that.
He just played guitar in a cave.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Maybe he picked up the guitar afterwards. I don't know. I haven't actually read the comic book.
It's
I just
all he
remember
had in
hearing about that at some point when this movie was out in theaters. A lot of people had theories that this Max was actually the feral kid and not the original Mad Max, because the way these movies are set up is that there's no real order other than, you know, everything takes place after Mad Max. Like,
yeah,
during the original trilogy, they're like, oh, you know, he could be a folk hero. None of this could be true. Or Max could be multiple people kind of meshed into one character and everything like that. So that's like this thing that George Miller had always tried to say was a thing with this franchise. But with this movie, there is a comic book and it definitively says that they all are the same Max. But it could still be like a folk hero, but it is supposed to be the same version as Mel Gibson.
Yeah, I think like what makes the Mad Max character cool, like the Road Warrior, Thunderdome, Fury Road, like, it doesn't really matter when they happened, or even if they actually did happen. Like, it could be, like you said, a folk hero, right? Like a tall tale, like exaggerated, retold many, many times by like people in this horrible wasteland. You know, like the Road Warrior is like a legendary hero in this world, and that makes it really, really cool. And it also makes it to where, like, you know, I think I was reading something where people were wanting like another movie with Furiosa in it, and it's like, I don't know. I don't see a need for it. Like, that's just one of the people that Max has encountered.
Right. Yep. So they originally were trying to make this movie in the mid-90s, and they were going to have Mel Gibson back. And then there was some issues with timing, and then it didn't work out. And then they were going to use him again. And then, like, issues with, like, 9/11 and the war in Iraq.
Yeah.
Postponed this movie again, and then by that time George Miller decided to do Happy Feet and Happy Feet 2, so he went on the family movie thing for a while.
And so he also really directed Babe, Pig in the City,
yeah.
Solid.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, he was also at another point making a Justice League movie. There was going to be a Justice League movie coming out around the same time as the Dark Knight, or between The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, and it was God, have I hope a different they never Batman. Make a Justice League movie.
But he was making a Justice League movie, and he actually got as far as like all the actors were cast. He moved all the actors to Australia and made them like live in a house together. They like got their costumes and everything, and then Warner Brothers just scrapped the movie because people were like, wait a second, there's gonna be two Batmans in the movie universe? This doesn't make any sense. And they're like, oh yeah, that's right. So they canceled it, and then that's when he got back into making the Mad Max movies. But yeah, they said that while working on this process, they had enough ideas and enough stuff written down where they actually had stories for 3 scripts. And there was one called Furiosa. And they were going to make another one, but then they realized exactly what you said, Dustin. Like, she's just another character. And this is supposed to be the tales of Mad Max. So now they decided to make a sequel. It's going to be Mad Max Wasteland. We still don't know any time when this is going to come out. But they are going to shift the focus back to the Max character.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, don't get me wrong, Furiosa is a great character, but I think it's just one of those great characters that that inhabits this world, I guess.
Yeah, and I think if you do more with her, you can end up lessening the impact she had in
cinema.
Absolutely,
totally.
So I would rather, like, there's certain movies that you don't need a sequel and they don't need more. So, for example, I just did the Matrix with Katrina on ruined my childhood. And that movie really could have stopped with the first Matrix.
Oh, absolutely. It should have. It should have stopped.
It definitely should have. It was a great movie. It had a great idea. And at the end, he flies. And you just know, oh, he's the one and he's going to save the day. You don't need to do anything else. I feel like this Furiosa is that kind of character. Like, she's the Neo. You know she's going to go kick some ass. And you don't really.
Well, she's like running the whole town now.
They already brought about the revolution. Like,
but yeah, it's pretty solid. I don't have much more to talk about this other than, like, I mean, we'd just be talking about the action stuff. Rictus was awesome. I like at the end when he knows he's going to die and he just rips out the engine block from the big rig and he's just like, Rictus! Just screaming his own name like a Pokemon.
Smart guy. I thought all the
vehicles looked amazing.
Like, no, the vehicles were rad.
Cars that they actually had to make. Like, I mean, we haven't really talked about
the old ladies either.
Oh, yeah, they were cool.
They had all the seats.
They had their whole thing going on. I mean, this movie, I guess, it's a little bit different, too, because, like, this one has more of, like, it just goes farther than the other ones, I guess, in terms of, like, these women are trying to, like, bring life back to this wasteland, you know? Like, they had all the seeds, and it's like, I don't know. I felt like the movie was, like, the men are trying to dominate everyone and continue to, like, do war and fuck everything up, and like these women are like trying to move past
life
it
back.
Like, trying to be like, right. No, we gotta live, like, we have, they're not about, like, I don't know, they're tough in the sense that they need to survive and protect themselves, but they're not like going out to just fuck each other up, you know, and just dominate each other in this like horrible way.
I also noticed when Furiosa met them back up, she said that she'd been there for 7,000 days, which is more than 19 years.
Yeah
which is nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. Oh, man. So I think it's pretty safe to say that we all enjoyed this movie and that
definitely.
We're glad that it got made.
This is the best one of the Mad Max movies.
Yeah.
Fury Road is the best.
This one and Road Warrior.
Yeah.
I remember loving Road Warrior, but watching it this time around and trying to compare it to Fury Road, like, I watched Road Warrior first, but just knowing how good Fury Road was, like, that movie's only 96 minutes, the Road Warrior.
Yeah.
But it felt like there were points where it dragged. The pacing wasn't as good as this one. And I remember when they announced Fury Road, like, they were saying, George Miller's like, it's going to be a 2.5 hour just extended action scene. I was like, that's going to be awful. That's going to be crazy. There's no way you can do that. Like, I was just thinking, there's no way this guy's going to pull us off. It's going to be
what it was.
And he fucking proved me wrong. I'm
totally
idiot.
Pulled it off.
Idiot.
The other thing that's cool is, like, it is like a you're tired at the end of Fury Road.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like it's
stressful.
Through an ordeal. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think, like, very few action movies can even do that.
You are on the edge of your seat this entire time. And then just seeing, like, knowing that how much of this is real and seeing, like, you see stunt guys get thrown, like, 20 feet and hit the ground and bounce. And you're like, holy shit, they did that. And you see these cars flip and just... You see people flying off of motorcycles, and you're just like, why would you do that to your body? Why?
Yeah, and just, like, the whole, like, sense of speed throughout it, like everything is moving, everything's in motion, you know?
And
like,
just
it compounds the action, I guess, the fact that...
And then just the way that the war boy's devotion to war is this kind of sickening and just uncomfortable.
It's all
well,
they
just,
have, yeah.
Yeah, it's like this movie just... hits you in the gut and just makes you feel uncomfortable, and then, like, the adrenaline rush you're getting the whole time, like, you feel that adrenaline rush spike, and then there's a calm before the storm. Like, they're still driving and they're just like, all right, we got through that, but there's gonna be more shit to come later. And then so you kind of get that, like,
we're gonna turn right around,
your adrenaline starts to release, and then it comes back again. You're just like, ah, it's like you've got that fight or flight response.
Yeah, it's like constant flight. It's like, get me the fuck away from these guys. Like, it's also that, like, being chased sensation, you know,
yeah.
It's like very present throughout this movie. It's like, god, dude, like, there's like a million bad guys trying to get us, and then
they're endless,
like, and then there's more, and then there's two more gangs of bad guys trying to get
right.
us. It's like, good god, you can't get a break.
And then when they go back through them and face all of them, and like almost all of them die, like all the old women die. Except for
they
Joe
lose a lot of people. Like,
I thought Morton Joe getting his face ripped off was
ripped
very
off.
Satisfying.
Oh.
Oh yeah, that
was
good.
I did like at the end of the movie. So you've got throughout the movie, the breeders are you know, most of them were like, no, we need to get away from this guy. But there's that one who I think her name was Cheeto. And she's always like, we were treated pretty well besides the rape. but like, you know, it's better than living and dying in the wasteland. So throughout the movie, they're trying to like, she keeps, there's times where she kind of wants to go back.
Yeah. Yep.
And at the end, she like reaches up. She's like, Rictus, take me. And so you think that she's like going to be weak and go back. But she ends up distracting Joe. And so that way they can actually get him killed. Yeah. Which is awesome.
It is
overall
awesome.
Solid movie. I can't awesome praise this movie enough.
When did Double it come D, out? 2015? Yeah.
What was that? 2015.
This is definitely the best movie I'd seen in like 5 years.
A long time. So in that that year, 2015, my three movies were, so before Star Wars came out, my favorite movie was this one, and then The Kingsman, the first Kingsman movie. And then Star Wars came out, and I think Star Wars pushed out The Kingsman. So it was between this and The Force Awakens in 2015 as the best movies.
I think I'd like this better than The Force Awakens. Yeah,
I would go Mad Max. I think so too. But it was close. Like, it's just hard to like overcome that nostalgia value of Star Wars.
Yeah.
But this movie, like, technically, this movie is a better movie.
Oh, hell yeah.
From a filmmaking standpoint. It's insane.
And from just getting pumped up watching it standpoint.
Like, I really do hope they make another one.
Like, I remember driving home from seeing this movie in the theater. Like, I was driving differently. Like, you know, like, it changed the way
you and I were, like,
pumped
walking. We went and got, so you and I, so Double D and I went and saw The Midnight Show, and then you and I went and saw it, like, 2 days later.
Yeah.
And we went and got burritos at and then we walked back cuz we went to that really shitty tiny theater right
that
by your house.
That 4-star. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we were like super uncomfortable in those seats, but quickly got over it with like how fucking tight that movie was. And then we were like walking, we were practically skipping back to your house.
Yeah. We bought the whole seat, but we only needed the edge.
All right. I think we're done gushing about this movie.
Yeah. Great movie.
Yes.
Thank you guys for listening. You guys can check out everything that's MDX Pods related at mdxpods.com, on Twitter and Instagram at MDX Pods. Please like and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Help us out on patreon.com. We're going to be getting out all those rewards from last month in the next week or so. So thank you for that, everyone who helped us out so far. And that's it. Thank you guys for listening.
Thanks
guys. I'm going to go watch The Road Warrior now.
You should. It's good.
It's good. Let us know what you think, Double D.
I definitely will.
All right. Bye.